This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Monday, June 6th. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air on the memorial of Mary, Mother of the Church, and the 78th anniversary of D-Day. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. It's good to be with you once again this morning. Thanks so much for joining us here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show and, of course, on Facebook as well. Our email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, back in 2018, Pope Francis decided that the Church would celebrate the Blessed Virgin Mary in her role as Mother of the Church every year on the Monday after Pentecost, and that would be today. The Marian title of Mother of the Church was given to the Blessed Mother by Blessed Pope Paul VI at the Second Vatican Council, but it goes all the way back to the early Church. I want to bring in our Relevant Radio news anchor, Glenn Leverins. Glenn, what are a few stories making headlines on this Monday morning?
Well, John, the good news, Jesus Christ, the Lord of all, but the bad news we keep facing day after day after day, more violence involving multiple shootings, this time at a church, a Catholic church, in a relatively peaceful part of Nigeria. Over 50 people were killed there, John, shot inside and outside the church during Pentecost, no less. Some very, very sad news from the continent of Africa.
Horrific news. I saw the images. Just heartbreaking. And I know the Holy Father has responded right away.
Yeah, praying for peace there, calling for peace, and just horrific news from there. Bad news from outside nightclubs around the U.S. over the weekend, too. A couple of mass shootings. Philadelphia, 3 killed and about 13 more wounded. Chattanooga, Tennessee, 3 killed, another 14 or so wounded there as well over the weekend. Just some really tragic news.
It really is. It's the ongoing battle between good and evil. And on this day, D-Day, 78 years ago today, 160,000 plus troops of American and of the Allies landed on Normandy. It's a day we'll never forget. In fact, over 4,400 Americans alone died on this day back in 1944.
Yeah, hearing those stories of people who've been involved there, just incredible. Even, you know, taking a look at parts of Saving Private Ryan gives a pretty accurate look at what life was like, that daring landing that turned the tide in World War II. And, John, sadly, fighting continues today, right? And only different venues.
Absolutely. On a lighter note, NBA Finals Game 2 last night, Golden State wins it 107-88 over the Boston Celtics. Boston Celtics, obviously after an impressive opening game, could not pull it out in Game 2. Steph Curry led the Warriors with 29 points. That series is now tied at a game apiece with Game 3 Wednesday in Boston.
Yeah, and John, both teams even tried to make a bit of a statement about ending gun violence, wearing shirts. Players and coaches from both teams wore shirts that said "End Gun Violence" before Game 2, at least calling attention to that in the midst of everything that's going on. But like you said, that's kind of the, as one sports station in the Twin Cities likes to call, getting to talk about sports, the candy store compared to other things that need to be talked about on the radio.
Absolutely. And obviously, all this violence is on the minds of so many Americans. So it was appropriate during the finals. As always, thanks so much, Glenn.
Sure thing, John.
On Mondays, we always remember to pray for the souls in purgatory, especially those of our relatives and our loved ones. They absolutely need our prayers. I also want to remind you that June is the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and we also venerate the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And this month, in honor of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, let's pray for an increase in the virtues of humility and holy purity to strengthen family life and marriage. We begin every hour in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for the many blessings through the intercession intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from John 19, 26 and 27. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. From the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ said to St. John, representing the church, "Behold your mother." From that hour onward, John took Mary into his home, keeping in mind that Jesus spoke these important words from the cross while hanging in agony. Our Blessed Mother still says to us today, do whatever Jesus tells you. So take Mary into your home as mother of the church and as your mother as well. And we always pray with great confidence the prayer from the chaplain of the Divine Mercy, "Jesus, I trust in you." Again, our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. Now, just yesterday, we celebrated the great solemnity of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and in some dioceses, it was Confirmation Day. Perhaps you might have asked yourself, why, after receiving the Holy Spirit in baptism, why do we need to receive him again in the sacrament of confirmation? And why is confirmation called the sacrament of champions by our first guest this morning? Joining us now live is an old friend, Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosio, known as Dr. Italy on radio and television. Dr. Marcelino is a theologian, international speaker, and author of several best-selling books, including Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, the book and the study program. He's also the professor at Catholic Distance University and directs the Crossroads Initiative. You can find him at dritaly.com for much more, many resources, not only on confirmation, but on our Catholic faith. Good morning, Dr. Marcelino. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It's always good to be with you.
Good morning. Buenos dias, John. It's great being with you, too.
Buenos dias, Marcelino. Talk about why you call confirmation the sacrament of champions. I got to tell you, I still have that lovely CD that you gave me years ago with that very title.
Well, this is the reason, John, you asked the question, you know, why after receiving the Holy Spirit in baptism, do we have another sacrament where we receive the Holy Spirit again? I mean, what's the story? And I think it's important to understand that the Holy Spirit comes in different waves for different purposes. And in baptism, he comes to sanctify us, to make us temples. In confirmation, the Spirit comes to empower us, to make us warriors. And you see this warrior thing happening in two great events where the Spirit comes in the Old Testament and the New. In the Old Testament, Samuel anoints this little shepherd boy, David. He pours oil out of a horn. And that horn from a bull symbolizes power. And when the Spirit rushes on David, he really changes. And it's right after that that he goes and faces Goliath. He takes on this giant who's menacing, threatening, taunting God's people and blaspheming God. And then you see Jesus, who from the moment of his conception, he's conceived by the Holy Spirit. He has the Holy Spirit. He's a temple of the Holy Spirit. But he's living a quiet life, a life that's hidden. And it's time now for his ministry. So he goes down, receives baptism by John, and after receiving baptism, he comes up out of the water, and the Spirit descends after baptism upon him. And now what does he do? He goes into the desert and he fights the devil, the real source of the evil that we talked about in the news today, of all those killings and things. And so, you know, the Spirit comes upon us to make us now share in the anointing of Jesus, which is priest, prophet, and king. And part of the kingly power of Christ is to fight evil. So anyway, this is why the Lord gives us the second sacrament of the Spirit, the sacrament of confirmation.
Dr. Marcelino, obviously yesterday was Confirmation Day in many parts of the country, in many dioceses. Can you talk about the sacrament of confirmation and its connection to Pentecost?
Yeah, you know, if you think about Pentecost, what blows my mind really, thinking about the disciples, you know, we always say, oh man, I wish I were there. If I had seen those miracles that they saw, I would, well, think about the fact that they saw those miracles, and yet they just kept messing up big time. They weren't very courageous. In fact, after 3 years of seeing miracles, after Jesus predicts three times that he is going to die but rise again, when they're faced with the soldiers showing up with Judas in the garden, what do the apostles all do? They tuck tail and they run. This is not very inspiring, honestly, you know, except it gives us hope, because what happens at Pentecost is the Spirit comes and now dwells in them as temples and empowers them to be warriors. And so we see them rushing out into the street, no longer behind locked doors. They're proclaiming the Lord with joy and with boldness, and everyone sits up and takes notice, and they want to know what the heck's going on. They think these guys are drunk because they're so exhilarated. They think they've been drinking, but it's only 9 in the morning, says Peter. And so we see a transformation in these weak, ordinary men, and we see the growth of the church beginning immediately. And so Pentecost is really, really important. And to be honest, you know, in the olden days, we used to not have what we now call ordinary time. This is in the old calendar. Prior to the reforms, after the Second Vatican Council, we used to call the Sundays after Pentecost the Sundays after Pentecost. You know, the first Sunday after Pentecost, the second Sunday after Pentecost. Now, the neat thing about that was it reminds us of Pentecost, and it reminds us that everything that's going on now can only take place because of Pentecost. Without Pentecost, really, the Paschal mystery, Jesus' death and resurrection, doesn't come to complete fruition. The Lord died for us, rose again, went to the right hand of the Father to pour out the Spirit on us so we could become new people. And that's really, when we are new people, we don't have to really worry too much about evangelization and rack our brains about programs to set up for evangelization. We draw people. People want to know what is going on. They are attracted to joy, to peace, to the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So anyway, that's what Pentecost is about, and confirmation is a sacrament by which Jesus guarantees he shows up and the Holy Spirit shows up. And Jesus shows up to pour that Spirit upon us for this purpose, for this new purpose that goes beyond just being a temple of the Holy Spirit, just goes beyond having the sanctification we need to get to heaven, but now makes us men and women who can bring others to heaven. And that's really, really important. You're not a Catholic just to get yourself to heaven. You're a Catholic in order to get others to heaven as well, to bring other people with you. And you need to be empowered for that. And that empowerment is given in this sacrament. And John, I want to say this. Pentecost was not a one-time event. It's been going on ever since that Pentecost Sunday in Jerusalem. And confirmation is not a one-time thing. When we receive confirmation, we're receiving really a fountain. You know, Jesus said, whoever believes in me, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. So it's like a fountain and a well inside of us when we receive the Spirit in confirmation. And we can call upon that. We can pump that well a little bit. Sometimes the well hasn't been pumped for a while, and we don't even know it's there. But, you know, a little priming through prayer and faith can pump that well again. We can call and claim the power of the Spirit and that the help that we need to be effective apostles. And that's really something that we ought to start doing. I did that for the first time when I was 16, and that was the beginning of my conversion. I didn't even know, you know, the Holy Spirit was like in the deep freeze of my life. And a little nun, she prayed with me and prompted me to ask the Holy Spirit to come out of the deep freeze and be active in my life. to be the power of my life, to be the wind in my sails. And I did that, and that began my journey, the journey that I'm still on right now, the adventure of the gospel.
Dr. Marcelino, do you think that many of us as Catholics don't take advantage of this power of the Holy Spirit that we receive in confirmation that was conferred to us by the successors of the apostles, the bishops in the sacrament?
Absolutely. Absolutely we don't take advantage of it, because otherwise the church would be growing. And from the time of Pentecost, there were 120 in that room, and by the year 350, now that's about 320 years later, there were 6.5 million Christians in the Roman world. And now, just to give you an idea of that growth, someone actually has plotted that growth. It was 40% net growth in the Christian community every 10 years. So that means, if there are 140 in 1 year, it was, it was 100, there'll be 140 10 years later, and that takes account of people leaving, takes account of people dying, of people being born, of people being evangelized. It was slow and steady growth. We see a big spurt on Pentecost Sunday, thousands, but there was slow and steady growth. And so if we're seeing, problems with people leaving and we're scratching our heads, not being able to figure out why our kids are not interested, why people are tuning out, we just have to look at ourselves. And I think the problem is we often look to the bishops and the clergy and blame, the church, and we identify that church with the hierarchy. But really, we are the church. And renewal starts typically, honestly, with simple people. It starts with simple little shepherds, in Fatima and little shepherds in the Pyrenees Mountains, Lourdes and Fatima. The Lord didn't go to the powerful and the learned. He started with little people, ordinary people. And that's the way the gospel story starts, with Mary and Joseph and Simeon and Anna. And really, the Lord would like to start renewal in every single community in this country and world. And he can start with me and you. And it really means taking advantage of this power of confirmation, of asking Jesus to activate the Spirit in our lives, surrendering our lives to Jesus, making him not just a part of our life, the religious part of our life, but the center of every aspect of our life. And that's a confession that we can make to Jesus and say, Lord, take over. I want you to be the boss. I want you to be the Lord. Forgive me for my lack of faith. Forgive me thinking I'm smarter than you and trying to do things my own way. But right now, Lord, you gave me the Spirit. I'm not seeing much activity right now. Could you please activate the power of the Spirit? I'm calling in. I want him to take over. I need his power. A simple prayer like that can begin a revolution, did with me. So I'm just going to encourage everybody who's listening to do that, to ask for the Spirit to come and to read, really, that account of Pentecost, and then to go and read Galatians. If you read Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit and the works of the flesh, you kind of get an idea of what we need to be seeing in our lives as evidence of the Spirit. If we really want to know if the Spirit's operating, and if he wants to operate, it's not like he doesn't want to come, but a lot of times we block him through our lack of faith, and through sin. So if you want to kind of discern if the Spirit's working in your life and where you're blocking the Spirit, you read that great little teaching by St. Paul on the fruits of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. It's fantastic. It's a great examination of conscience, actually, too, every night or before you go to confession.
Dr. Marcelino, a word of encouragement on asking the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts on a regular basis, and it can be something as simple as just praying, come Holy Spirit, come.
Yeah, that is, John, you just said it. I don't have to tell anybody anything. You said it. All you need to do is ask the Spirit to come. And, I just want to point something else out. I teach liturgy and sacraments for the Catholic Distance University, and I taught it also at the University of Dallas, where I taught for many years. But I love teaching liturgy and sacraments. And one of the things that the church teaches, and that's right in the catechism, that most of my students say, really? I didn't know that. Every single sacrament is a new Pentecost. Jesus never comes to us without the Holy Spirit. They're inseparable. Every time Jesus comes and we receive communion, it's a new outpouring of the Spirit. In fact, we pray, the priest has to pray for the coming of the Spirit upon the gifts and upon us. as well as the words of consecration. It's by the power of the Spirit and the Word of God, the Word of Jesus, that the sacraments happen. But every sacrament is not only a meeting of Jesus, it's a meeting with the Holy Spirit. It's a new infilling with the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage people to really approach the sacraments with that kind of faith. And when you go to confession, realize that it's not just to get to wipe the slate clean. You know, people say, why can't you go to confession? Why do you have to go to confession? Because when you meet Jesus and he gives you the Spirit, it helps you to change. And that's really what the sacrament of confession is about, the sacrament of healing and empowerment to become a new person.
And as St. Paul reminds us, without the Holy Spirit, we cannot say that Jesus is Lord. You've got a really exciting trip coming up to Oberammergau in Germany, the Passion Play coming up later this summer. Can you share real briefly a couple of details?
Oh, yeah, man. And John Paul, too. We're going to start in Poland with your co-patron of LM Radio, John Paul II, following in his footsteps, Maximilian Kolbe, Edith Stein. Then we go to Austria and do a little bit of Mozart and The Sound of Music, and then we're off to Germany to the greatest passion play in the history of the church that happens every 10 years. It's been going on for about 400 years. Won't happen again until 2030, but we have tickets, and we have some room for people to come with us, and it's happening this August. So it's a beautiful time to be in the Bavarian foothills. Cool, beautiful. The play is outside. 2,000 people participate in this play. The whole town is involved. It's quite a pageant and a marvel. So we'd love to have people join up with us. We have, I think, about 10 seats left. So you can contact us by texting Dr. Italy, Dr. Italy. So that's the message. And you could text it to 33777. That's the number. So 33, age of Jesus, 777, three times, a perfect number. And then just the message, Dr. Italy, and then you'll get a invitation to subscribe to our email list. The website is easy to remember, dritaly.com, and so you can just go there, too, if you'd like. And there's a pilgrimage tab on every page. You can find out about that pilgrimage. You can get all the details. You can register. But you can also find out about Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. If you haven't taken that study, that's phenomenal. We have a special section on the Holy Spirit. And really soon, John, we have a new study coming out from Ascension Press that I helped to co-write, and it's called What We Believe, The Beauty of the Catholic Faith. And there's a whole episode, a whole 25-minute video and chapters in the book about the Spirit, and I think you'll really love that. So that's coming out. I think you can pre-order it now. It'll be shipping next month in July.
Sounds fantastic. As always, thanks so much for being with us, Dr. Marcellino. Again, the website, dritaly.com. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, the director of the Crossroads Initiative and the author of Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Author and professor of theology, Annabelle Mosley, will tell us about the Saints of June that offer words of wisdom about the love of Christ on the cross. Stay with us. There's much more to come. We are just warming up this morning. We'll be back with more after this.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales. Coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Mama said there'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, Mama said.
Mama said, Mama said.
Mama said there'll be days like this, there'll be days like this.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. It's good to be with you on this Monday morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, here in the month of June, the month dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we're reminded of Christ's totally unguarded sacrificial love for each one of us every time that we look at his Sacred Heart. Now, reflecting on our Blessed Lord's passion and sacrifice with others, we turn to the wisdom of four great saints this month who can inspire us to do exactly basically the same. Joining us now is our regular contributor, Professor Annabelle Mosley, to discuss the Saints of June. Annabelle Mosley is the author of Sacred Braille, The Rosary as Masterpiece, and Our House of the Sacred Heart. She's also a professor of theology, wife and mother, and the creator of the Bethany Plan, offering busy Catholics a Christ-centered way to find balance. Good morning, Professor Annabelle. Thanks so much for joining us. Always great to be with you, especially here at the beginning of the month of June.
Oh, it's a beautiful month. Good morning, John.
Before we talk about the Saints of June here in the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, today we are on this day celebrating the Feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of the Church. One of the feasts that Pope Francis instituted just a few years ago in 2018. How can we honor our Blessed Mother as the Mother of the Church and our Mother as well?
Mary, Mother of the Church, what a beautiful title, and may she hold America under her mantle in these times. We can honor her today by going to Mass. We can honor her by bringing that statue of Mary right to the center of our table where we dine and eat, and just telling the children how much we love her. But you know, there's one work of art that I would recommend we show the family today, John. I featured it in my book, Sacred Braille, Poems on End, Reflections on the Rosary. And the reason I featured it is, it's called Pentecost. It's by Jean Risto. He's a French painter. It's a classic. And it shows Mary at Pentecost. Now, Pentecost was yesterday. But it shows all of the apostles as the fire was coming down, you know, this wonderful fire that would inspire them and give them this wonderful gift of being able to preach the gospel. And all of the apostles in the image, John, are frightened. They're happy, but they're frightened of the fire. And Mary is just looking beautifully up at heaven with this trust, this understanding. She knows the Holy Spirit very well at this point. And she's there. You can see she's the mother in this image. And I would recommend it. I'll say it again. It's by Jean. He's French. Jean Risto. And it's Pentecost. Show your children and your loved ones this image today and say, there she is on the birthday of our church, which was yesterday. She's our mother and she's guiding our church always. And we must always turn back to our mom.
She really is our mother, and the saints that we're going to talk about, all of them have always had a devotion to our mother, to our Blessed Mother, and that's why we honor her today as the Mother of the Church. Professor, can you talk about what all of these saints have in common?
Oh, sure, John. You know, it's amazing how in this month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, June, we think about Christ and his great love for us, and it's really summed up in the image of the cross. And all four of the saints we're going to talk about today explain that intense beauty of the cross with so much love that will help us to explain it to others. We're going to meet a cave-dwelling deacon, a finder of lost things. I bet you can figure out who that is. An itinerant desert preacher and a father of the church. Now, these are saints from different walks of life, different times, but they all have something to say about the love we can find through the cross of Jesus.
Absolutely. Let's begin with that cave-dwelling deacon, St. Ephrem, that we celebrate on June 9th. Tell us a little bit about the life of St. Ephrem.
Sure. St. Ephrem the Syrian, he's a doctor of the church. He died in 373, so you see how long ago he was, but he's still so relevant. He was a deacon, and that's wonderful for all of the deacons in our lives to pray to St. Ephrem. And in St. Ephrem's great humility, he never became a priest. This was just, he was asked too many times, but he was content to stay a deacon. And this deacon lived in a cave. He was forced to flee his homeland with other Christians who were suffering persecution. And we know persecution still goes on in the world today. So this makes St. Ephrem a great patron saint, not only for deacons, but for those being persecuted for their Catholic faith. And he was known as the harp of the Holy Spirit and the zither of Mary. And this was because he wrote many songs. Actually, he's credited for bringing song into the liturgy.
What can we do to celebrate the Feast of St. Ephrem, and what can we learn from him most of all?
Oh, sure. So St. Ephrem the Syrian, he taught this. He said, "Blessed be the merciful one who saw the weapon by paradise that closed the way to the tree of life, but came and took a body which could suffer, that with the door in his side he might open the way to paradise. What a poetic thing to say. Basically explaining that Jesus, when his side is opened by the lance, right, when the soldier opens Jesus' side with the lance, that actually a door is opened to paradise, which is such a beautiful image. So to go deeper with this today, we really should remember the Divine Mercy devotion, which so many of us love, and just set our alarms for 3 p.m. today to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. That's what we pray in the Divine Mercy, and that's exactly what St. Ephrem is describing, that through the side of Christ, through his passion, a door was opened to paradise.
And we are reminded through that image of the Divine Mercy of the water and the blood that came out of the side of our Lord.
Yes.
Hey, can you talk a little bit about the saint that we celebrate on June 13th, the eloquent finder of lost things?
Oh, I love him so much. My children are always reaching out to St. Anthony of Padua whenever they've lost anything. I think so many of us, he's dear to our hearts, isn't he? And St. Anthony of Padua is famous for his eloquent sermons. That's something wonderful to remember about him. We know him as the finder of lost things, but he was so brilliant when it came to preaching and teaching. He also is a doctor of the church, and we do pray to him when we lose something. And it's kind of fun to wonder, why do we? Why is he the patron saint of lost things? My kids just asked me that last night, actually. And it comes from an incident in St. Anthony's own life. There was actually a novice leaving St. Anthony's community who stole St. Anthony's treasured Book of Psalms. And St. Anthony had his own personal notes all through it. This is back in the day when every book was made by hand. It was very valuable and very special to him in prayer. So St. Anthony prayed that God would allow the return of this book. And the novice did come back, and he asked his forgiveness. So it's really nice to know that the patron saint of lost things understands firsthand, you know, what it feels like when we lose something. So it's no wonder when we invoke his intercession, it works out so beautifully. And in the words of St. Anthony of Padua, he tells us, eloquently as always, Christians must lean on the cross of Christ just as travelers lean on a staff when they begin a long journey. So I love that idea of clinging to the cross as we journey through life, like a traveler holding onto a staff. And he also says one other thing that's beautiful. He says, nowhere other than looking at himself in the mirror of the cross can a man better understand how much he is worth. So this is just a kind of a cute little tip, but next time we are looking at ourselves in a mirror, let's remember the words of St. Anthony. That it's really through the mirror of the cross that when we see ourselves there, we see the price our Lord paid for us, that's where we get our self-worth from.
And St. Anthony is basically following in the footsteps of St. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who said, we preach Christ and Christ crucified. And so this is why for us, we don't just worship an empty cross, but a crucifix with a never-ending reminder of the great love of our Lord Jesus dying for all of us on the cross.
Absolutely. That's so well said. A reminder of his love for us that we can never forget, and a reminder of his call to us to take up our cross and follow him. Beautiful.
What else can we learn from this great Franciscan preacher, St. Anthony of Padua?
I think what we can really learn is to choose our words wisely. It's easy to blurt out anything. We've all done it. To pray to St. Anthony for his intercession, that we might have a pure heart that will lead to a humble tongue. You know, one of the things the saints teach us, and St. Anthony is one of them, is that if we want to have a good tongue, a tongue that when we speak, speaks words of life, of truth, of love, that helps other people feel love, that speaks of God, we have to begin with our heart. And so we can pray to him today to give us that pure heart.
And in fact, my understanding is that his tongue, an incorruptible relic, is found in Padua, Italy. Do you know anything about
yes.
that?
John, I'm so glad you asked me. I actually was there and prayed right there at St. Anthony's tongue. It's very humbling. very profound to see, you know, it's incorruptible. It's the one part of his body that actually did not corrupt with death. And it's God's sign to us that this man really used his words to speak love and life and truth. And it's a call to all of us. But I'll tell you what, just on a personal level, being there in Padua, I couldn't believe how many graces I felt after that day praying there.
It must have been a great moment. You know, I think of St. Anthony and the great preacher that he was, and we just celebrated the feast, the Solemnity of Pentecost yesterday, the coming of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure St. Anthony of Padua was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's where he got the power to preach so eloquently.
Oh, that's such a great connection. Absolutely. That's definitely where he got it. And we learn that. That's one of the great lessons of Pentecost, isn't it? That it's the Holy Spirit that will give us the words to speak. So through the intercession of St. Anthony today, on the heels of Pentecost, what better thing to pray for?
Absolutely. And not just St. Anthony, but to all the saints have had a special devotion to the Holy Spirit. In fact, I'd like to invite our listeners, if you have a special devotion to any of the saints that we are honoring here in the month of June, or you want to be part of our conversation with Professor Annabel Mosley, we're taking your calls at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break as we continue our discussion with Professor of Theology and author Annabel Mosley. Stay with us. There's more to come on Morning Air on the other side.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day with the issues that matter most. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales as we continue our conversation about the saints of June and some of the words that they offer about the wisdom and the love of Christ on the cross with author and professor of theology, Annabel Mosley. Annabel, as we continue talking about the saints, next up on June 23rd of this month, we celebrate the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. Tell us about this great saint.
Well, St. John the Baptist, we know, was born to Zechariah and Elizabeth, who was past her childbearing years, but this was made possible by God's grace. And, of course, the angel Gabriel had visited the couple to bring this news and to make it known the child should be called John. And John baptized his followers and instructed his followers to follow Jesus, so they became the first Christians. But what I love to remember is on the day of the baptism of the Lord, that first luminous mystery, when John recognized Christ, John told him, "I ought to be baptized by thee, and you come to me?" And then he says, of course, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who taketh away the sin of the world." That's John 1:29. Let's just honor those words every time we hear them during the liturgy of the Eucharist. I love the connection of St. John the Baptist to the Eucharist, how he reminds us to behold the Lamb of God. And I love to remember, it's just a simple thing, but it's so profound. Let's be sure to look up at the host as the priest raises it, and to teach our children to do the same. You know, it's a wonderful way to honor our Lord above all, but to honor that legacy of St. John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God. So to teach our little ones, this is a time to look up. Look, there's the Eucharist. There is our Lord. And, you know, another way we can honor this legacy, John, is in this month of the Sacred Heart, the devotion to the Eucharist, the devotion to the Lamb of God, is, so many saints teach us, the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And if our listeners go to bethanyplan.com, they can sign up for a free 33-day consecration to the Sacred Heart, and they'll get a daily podcast, very brief, like 9 to 14 minutes, sent to their inbox with prayers, art, reflections to prepare our hearts for a deeper devotion to the Sacred Heart, so that every day we can behold the Lamb of God with more fervor. When we go to Mass, we'll have that devotion to the Sacred Heart that will really deepen it. That's at bethanyplan.com.
Again, bethanyplan.com, and you can subscribe for this 33-day consecration to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is something that we can do here in this month dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Absolutely.
Professor, you know, it's interesting that we are celebrating here in the month of June the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. You know, typically for the most part, we honor the death of saints when they enter into heaven. But St. John the Baptist, we celebrate actually both.
That's right. St. John the Baptist and Our Lady, they get that special privilege. And how wonderful. You know, we are taught what an important saint. Our Lord tells us that there was never anyone greater born in terms of any of the saints than St. John the Baptist. And so he does get that special privilege, how his nativity points. Also, when we think about the very joyful mysteries, when we think about the visitation, there's so much in that mystery. When Mary goes to Elizabeth to comfort her in her pregnancy and bring her in her own womb, Mary brings Jesus to Elizabeth, who has John in her womb. And we see how important a grace-filled moment that is, that John is blessed in utero by Jesus through Mary. Jesus through Mary. Look at all that John teaches us just by his very life. So it's really no wonder that his birthday is honored, when even Mary dropped everything to go and see him and bless him in utero so that he could grow up to be this forerunner of Christ.
And we remember the words of the forerunner, I must decrease, he must increase, when speaking about Jesus.
Yes, and let us repeat those words to ourselves every day, right, John? It's a good reminder to us for humility. Let me decrease. Let it be Jesus that speaks through me. That goes back to the same theme we were talking about before, with humility of heart and purity of heart in terms of our tongue and the use of our tongue in speech. Please let it be me that decreases and Jesus that speaks through me.
And finally, at the end of this month, on June 28th, we honor one of the great early church fathers of the church, St. Irenaeus. Tell us about St. Irenaeus.
Yes, St. Irenaeus, who died in 202, that's a very long time ago indeed, but he was the second bishop of Lyon. He was very influenced by his mentor, St. Polycarp. These are great, you know, church fathers to read too, to kind of dig more in. But St. Polycarp had actually known the apostles. So when you think about the fact that that was the mentor of St. Irenaeus, that's incredible. Gnosticism was spreading. It was a threat to Christianity at the time. And St. Irenaeus wrote a 5-book series revealing all the errors and basically shut down Gnosticism. He refuted it perfectly. So this is another saint who knew how to speak, who knew how to use language. And just getting back to that theme of the cross of Jesus, he also wrote about the cross. And he says, just as a tree was the cause of the curse in the Garden of Eden, so also we were saved through a tree, the cross. So eloquent. And I think it would be a wonderful thing this June, this month of gardening, we could honor these words of St. Irenaeus by taking our kids or our family members and planting a garden around a tree, teaching our children this quote, to just remember that the tree was the cause of the curse, but our Lord turn it all around by saving us through the tree of the cross.
And St. Irenaeus also wrote eloquently about the Holy Eucharist, along with a number of these early church fathers. They're teaching the same thing that we have today, 2,000 years later, but some of his words were extremely eloquent. I happen to have a quote of his in front of me from St. Irenaeus on the Holy Eucharist, when he said, Jesus has declared the cup a part of creation to be his own blood, from which he causes our blood to flow, and the bread, a part of creation, he has established as his own body, from which he gives increase to our bodies. Our belief in the true presence, body, blood, soul, divinity, goes all the way to the early church, and great saints like St. Irenaeus are just another example with their incredible witness.
Oh, man, that is so beautiful, John. I love that quote.
In the moments that we have here, if you could share with us just a little bit more about the importance of a true devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus in this month of June, something that I'm sure all of the saints that we talk about month in and month out have had over the centuries.
It's always a marvel to me. It's always so moving to me that in every image we see of our Lord and the Sacred Heart, He's unguarded. It's the King, it's our Savior, and he's just offering his heart, showing it to us, holding it out to us in many images, giving us his heart. Let's respond to that call with the same kind of love. Let's give up, let's give him our hearts right back in return. A wonderful way to do that is to consecrate ourselves to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We can't do that too often, John. It's like saying, I love you. If you've done it before, do it again. And please also, an encouragement to listeners to enthrone our houses to the Sacred Heart of Jesus by making him the King of our home and saying, you take care of it, Lord. This home is dedicated to you. He really will take care of it. So you can also look for enthronement ceremonies. My book, Our House of the Sacred Heart, offers one. You can also find many online, but just enthrone your house to the King, our Lord Jesus, and so much will come from it.
Can you talk about the hearts of Jesus and Mary being like a single heartbeat? One heart, they're so closely together. It's not an accident that we celebrate the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and then the following day, the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary here in this month.
Absolutely, John. It's no accident there. One of the ways our church talks about them is sometimes they call them the twin hearts, which I just find so endearing, that that's how close these two hearts are, mother and son, Redeemer, and of course, co-redemptrix Mary, as Pope John Paul II would have said. Also, if we look at the very church calendar, we've got June, which is the month of the Sacred Heart. August is the month of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and look what's in between them, the month of the Precious Blood. In July. And the blood of, you know, you just think of that family tie between mother and son. They're so connected. Their hearts have that blood, that love connection, that, you know, the closest possible mother and son, and also the King and Queen of Heaven. So in our homes, when we enthrone the Sacred Heart of Jesus, let's also place an image of the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
How do you teach that to the youngsters, to the young kids, this love of the two hearts, the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary?
Oh, well, we have, in our house, we have the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus images right next to each other. But we also have a statue kind of at the level of the kids. And it's got Jesus' open arms with his Sacred Heart right there. And I have caught the kids hugging the statue in return because the statue is right there in an embrace. So I love to tell the children how Jesus' arms on the cross or Jesus on, you know, in the statue, it's a reminder of this constant call to embrace him. And with Mary, we talk a lot about Our Lady of Guadalupe because they just love that image of being wrapped in her mantle. That's a wonderful way to speak to children of the love of Mary. They're at the point where if they see an image of Our Lady, they'll give her a kiss. They're little and they're filled with love. So it's a wonderful way to promote the devotion. Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe, Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. And on this day in which we honor the Blessed Mother as the Mother of the Church, we are reminded of we always go to our Mother, and she's there for us always. Professor, thank you so much for being with us as you do every month.
Oh, thank you, John. It's wonderful to talk with you.
For much more, we can go to aletheia.org and read Annabelle's article, The Saints of June, that offer words of wisdom about the love of Christ on the cross. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called If You See Something, Say Something by Katrina from Sunny Skies. Children don't just automatically become kind adults. We need to teach and show them how. Yesterday, we were in a supermarket self-serve area. A lady, probably late 20s, early 30s, had a beautiful suit on. Being Saturday, most people had casual clothes on. Our 10-year-old daughter said, Mom, I love that lady's outfit. She looks so pretty in it. I said, why don't you tell her? Being 10, she didn't want to, so I said, come with me. The lady was busily putting her groceries through. I said, excuse me, sorry for interrupting, but my daughter wanted you to know that she thought you look amazing today. She stopped and let it sink in for a minute and went, oh my goodness, well thank you, you've made my day. As we were walking away, I explained to my daughter that saying something nice can change the direction of someone's day. And maybe the lady may have been coming home from a busy day at work, collecting shopping on her way home, and it cost you nothing to say something nice to her. If you have the opportunity, be kind. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, canon lawyer Father James Wallace, the pastor of St. Paul the Cross Parish in Park Ridge, Illinois, in suburban Chicago, continues his two-part series on church history. Plus, career coach Bruce Lockenauer will be with us to help recent college grads get that dream job. So stay with us. There's much more to come next hour here on Morning Air after a short break.